You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week, Anika discussed gangs with Dr. Shane Reti from the National Party for their regular segment. Here they are now.
So today I wanted to talk about the rising spike in gang violence that we're seeing, and I was wondering if we could please start off by maybe outlining what you and the National Party believe to be some of the root causes.
Sure. So we can all see the significant increase in gang tension over a period of time now. And in fact, the minister, or the previous minister, reported in the House last week that there had been 23 drive-by shootings or significant events over the past few weeks, particularly in Auckland. And I think if we look at any crime and go to root cause, we would start with issues of inequity, we would start with issues of poverty, we'd start with issues of education, there may well be issues of housing in that as well. Some of the social determinants that place people in situations where they might commit crimes and come to the attention of the judiciary and come to the attention of corrections, for example, are all underlying root causes, first of all. So we have those social determinants that place people in that situation. Secondly, we have the 501s who have returned from Australia, who are returning for a purpose because they have created a significant issue in Australia, and they bring with them a track record and pattern of behaviour that clearly for many can be a challenge to rehabilitate in New Zealand. So it's a combination of those things. I know a large number of people are saying it's significantly driven by the 501s, and that may well be the case, but we had our own homegrown gang tensions as well, which are predicated on many of those social factors.
Just yesterday in the cabinet reshuffle, Chris Hipkins has now taken on the role of Minister of Police. Do you have more hope for Chris Hipkins in that role?
Look, that decision to remove the previous police minister and insert a new one is a call for the Prime Minister to make. Things needed to change, and I think the conclusion that they drew that of recent times the focus has not been where it needed to be and where they wanted it to be is a signal that they were looking for a change. So I've worked with Chris in health, and I've had a good working relationship with him. He isn't necessarily my direct portfolio opposite, but my working experience with Chris has been good, and so hopefully he can sink his teeth into this role and quickly, because day by day to be getting serious criminal events is undermining the safety that New Zealanders have in their own personal property and in their own persons, if you like, their own personal safety.
Now, Christopher Luxon has expressed a desire to increase police powers, starting off with the banning of gang patches and insignia in public. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern dismissed this idea as a reactionary response, which, when tried in other countries, has effected no real change. How would you respond to that?
I'd say several things. Chris Luxon and the National Party are bringing through ideas, bringing through concepts that are being trialled, have been tried and have had some success, particularly in Australia. We reached out for examples of what is being used. I think secondly, let's also remember this also already occurs in government buildings like hospitals and courts. So to suggest that it wouldn't work in New Zealand is, how does that work? It's already a precedent and seems to be functional in those places. So I think it's a hollow response to being late to the game, actually.
Right, and another power that Luxon suggested giving police is the power to issue dispersal notices to anyone they reasonably suspect of being a gang member or gang prospect, as well as issue consorting prohibition notices to stop gang offenders associating with one another. Are there concerns that this power could be misused and or abused by the police, and how could you ensure these notices are being issued fairly?
So all powers that are bestowed by government, be it on police or other authorities, needs to have checks and balances. And this would be no different. There would need to be well thought out policies with checks and balances to make sure the appropriate decision making and appropriate force is brought to a policy of this kind. And I've heard some people raise questions about where does this sit with respect to human rights. Let's remember that the Bill of Rights allows exemptions when one right overrides another. So your right to be safe from personal harm, can override a right for you to wear insignia or to intimidate or to gather in an illegal sort of fashion. So I think that can be addressed when one understands the hierarchy of the Bill of Rights that does give exemptions for some rights to override others.
Right. Now, I have seen concerns raised that the National Party's policies to crack down on gangs would discriminate against members' families and that these policies had a disproportionate negative effect on Māori and Pacifica communities in the past. Are you aware of this? Do you appreciate these concerns?
I think that can be, we certainly understand that Māori very tragically overrepresented in many of these statistics we're trying to turn around, but often that can be an explanation that's too easy to reach for when people are hearing what they don't want to hear. And what this government doesn't want to hear is the increasing crime, the increasing statistics, and I think to parade that as an explanation doesn't really cut it. We need to have firm policies, we need to have them now, and let's not just run out the same poor explanation with no thinking behind it. Bring persuasive reasoning to the table, and we've laid four or five things on the table we think would make a difference.
Now, I've also seen policies like these being likened to militarising the police force against gangs, which in the past has seemed to only deepen the systemic racism and racial profiling felt by the Māori and Pacifica community. Would you be able to address these concerns?
So this is why it would be really important for policies of this type that we bring on board and seek guidance and counsel from those who actually represent the communities most likely to be affected, which would be Māori and Pacifica. And we know the cultural competency officers and the Māori advisory officers and the police do an incredible job and are very, very useful in helping us bridge that gap between judiciary and those affected iwi and Māori communities, and that we'd be looking to draw on their deep expertise and their guidance as to how we could implement policies of this sort for the reasons that you're mentioning.
Right, and the other thing that I've seen is that these policies are focusing on gangs more than they're focusing on the actual criminal activity, and the activity itself needs to be the centre of the crackdown as opposed to gangs in general. How would you respond to that?
The centre of the policy needs to be looking back at the root cause and wrapping that around whatever the policy intent is. However, the reality is that when we have a crisis like we have here now, there needs to be urgent protection of property, urgent protection of people's persons, and then behind that needs to be the longer and deeper look into the determinants of crime and doing a better job with that.
That was News and Editorial Director Anika speaking to the National Party's Dr. Shane Reti for their weekly catch-up.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.